Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
You reached Ricky Vigil, but I didn't answer the phone. Leave a message and I'll probably call you back.
Record your message after the tone. To send a numeric page, press 5.
Hey, I'm testing out the recorder. It sounds like I might have a mental impairment on my voicemail message. Whatever. I guess that's kind of funny. Okay, bye.
I'm JP, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture. On today's show, we'll be previewing the Heel to Toe project, going back into the archives with Touche Amore, finding out how to pho with Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp, previewing November's Localize with The Rose Phantom, doing the Daily Calendar weekly rundown with editorial assistant Esther Moronio, previewing new music from Bell Rave, and chatting about Salt Lake Design Week. A quick thanks to Able Planet's Michael Zucconi, their headphone manufacturer, who was kind enough to send us a replacement pair of headphones after one of our pairs experienced some technical difficulty. We really appreciate the helpful customer service. Thanks again, Michael, and check out Able Planet if you're interested in high-quality headphones.
Sidewalks talking as I was walking on my usual way to work.
The Heel to Toe Project is a photo essay from Shaylee Cooper, based around walking a mile in someone else's shoes. Cooper originally sold 25 pairs of boots and mailed along disposable cameras to the buyers around the world, who were encouraged to take photos along with their boots. Slug writer Megan Kennedy recently spoke with Cooper about the project.
So tell me, this Heel Toe project, what inspired something so bold with this? Because it just strikes me as a really, like, logistically, just a really complex and complicated idea. But it's awesome, like, in a good way. Usually those turn out the best. So what inspired that for you?
It's funny because, I don't know, I guess I'm kind of conceptual in some ways. And honestly, my background in curating, I love bringing work together and looking at other work that other people are doing. And I feel like there's so much more to be said when you're able to do that and have an all-encompassing idea where it brings people so many different backgrounds and so many different styles. And honestly, the project, it was like, I've had these cowboy boots, collected them for years, and I've always been attracted to things with a past, like a history. Like, I'm always at the secondhand stores, like everywhere I shop, typically, it's like I'm getting something that's used. So I've always been attracted to the idea of what is the life of that object? Like, who had it before? What was their life like? And honestly, the first pair of cowboy boots I got, I felt different when I wore them.
Really? Is that kind of why you chose? That was one of my questions, is why cowboy boots?
Why cowboy boots?
So is that why you just kind of felt different?
So it was so silly. I just was like, I'm standing taller. What's happening? Like, I'm walking where I felt, it was weird, but I kind of felt like more confident, which
really?
I had no idea like where that was coming from, because that's it's just like, okay, I'm walking taller and feeling better. And I think I associated it with the shoes.
Like the cowboys.
I think I did. And so I started collecting more, but I didn't know why I was collecting more, but I think I just associated it to feeling better.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
So I was like, I'm going to get more of those. And I went and I got different. I mean, if I liked the way they looked, I bought them.
Nice.
Typically sizes that were bigger than what I would usually wear, because I could make myself fit in to them, like the inserts or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was strange. For years would wear them. And my friends are just like, what is with the cowboy boots, you know? And it's like to formal events. I mean, I'd have a pair. It was like, oh, these are a little nicer. So I could like dress those ones
You're
up.
Dressing cowboys.
Yeah, seriously.
That's awesome.
Those were the lucky sevens.
Did you put those as part of the project?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're all gone, huh?
Yeah, they're all gone.
My ambition to try it. Devil said RSVP. You still coming?
when you get the disposable cameras back, are you going to do any editing, like, to the film or digital darkroom, or are you just going to post them as is?
As is.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm a lover of film, and part of the reason that I decided to do disposable cameras is, in a world now with photography, it's like, what is photography anymore?
It's gotten crazy, huh?
It's like, it's so far removed from the foundation of what it is. It's fascinating. I think it's amazing that there's so many tools that you can use. Mm-hmm. The whole reason I wanted to do the disposable, one, is because it's film and I love film, and two, it's magic. I mean, you don't know what your picture's gonna look like.
Yeah.
And so, part of that is like letting go of the control of the process. Okay. In a project like this, it's like you want to make sure that, you know, the image is how you want it.
Right.
But with the disposable camera, you can't. And that's really how life is. You can't really control it. You want to have certain control,
right,
but you really don't. With this, I think it also forces you to really slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Because with digital, you're like quick and you're looking, and then the light's changing, so you're able to change it immediately. But you really have to kind of think about the lighting and think about your composition and think about what you want to have to say.
Yeah.
So, you know, we may have rolls of film that don't have anything come out, and that's what we'll print.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of what it's going to be, I guess. So,
what that made me think about too is with the loss of control, like, you seem to remember the strangest parts of your life, or like stuff, you remember stuff and forget stuff that you didn't think you would. And so it's that same sense of like, you don't know what's going to come out on the film, so you don't know what you're going to remember in the last 20 years, you know, like what's going to stick out in your mind is important.
Oh, true.
So I like that.
Yeah.
What are you hoping to get back, if anything, photo-wise? Like, are you hoping more day-in-the-life stuff from people? Are you hoping for faces? Are you hoping for, like, that they'll take pictures of their areas so you can kind of get, like, a world view? Like, if somebody from Paris, for example, going somewhere.
We have someone in Berlin.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, we do. We have someone in Berlin and Chicago and New York and all over. But honestly, what I wanted, and in the photographic essay, I sent a sheet of paper out kind of giving a guideline. So, because it's like, oh, this is so open.
Right.
And it's so conceptual. Like, oh, I hope I get the right image. And that's the beauty in this. I don't want anyone to feel like they're supposed to shoot it a certain way,
right,
because it shows a reflection more on the individual who now has the boots.
Yeah.
I mean, some people got the boots that don't even fit in the boots.
Right.
So it's like that. And then we have a local artist, Jim Williams, who's doing a sculpture with the boots,
oh,
you know?
Oh.
So it's just like, anything goes. But my main goal was, so in the questionnaire, I asked that they have an image of themselves with the boots,
mm-hmm,
at least one,
yeah,
and then at least one image of the boots. But the rest of the photographic essay was geared towards reflecting on your own experience of life, love, and loss. So it could be anything, really, but the main goal was to get people to thinking about their own experience with those three things,
mm-hmm,
how they can express that. So it could be, I mean, I'm excited to see the images because I think there's going to be such a variety.
Oh, sure.
And that way, it opened it up so it's not like you have to have the boots in every single picture, but some people wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, we'll see what happens.
There's drinks on the table. So pour yourself some alcohol. Make yourself comfortable.
So how many foreign countries have you sent boots to? I know you said Germany. Are there any other foreign countries yet?
Foreign countries. Well, we have Berlin. I think that's it. Everything else is national.
That's going to be fun, though.
Yeah. So
you forget how big the U.S. is, really. Like,
yeah, and the variety. It'll be really interesting. Yeah, Chicago. There's a lot of people in California.
Oh, that'll be great.
And New York. Yeah.
So what, if anything, do you hope viewers of the gallery will take from it?
Honestly, there's also a sidebar to this. I don't know why when I have an idea, it's like I have to have 10 ideas. But we're doing an open call for entries.
Oh, very nice.
Where anyone, anywhere can send a photograph that reflects on their experience of life, love, or loss. And honestly, if anything, I just think that I want to tap on into the idea that we can all relate to some things, you know, and the whole idea is, you know, walking in someone else's shoes, but really your own experience and how we can relate to each other. So hopefully the images will reflect that.
It's,
and
like a base experience.
Yeah, and I don't know, I kind of just hope that it opens people up to slowing down a little bit and really thinking about their experience. You get so caught up in everyday life that you kind of forget to think about it.
Right. So how's your reception been from like the art community and people that know about the project so far?
Phenomenal. Good. Yeah, we're really excited. We launched our website last week, so we
have a
website and it's a blog, so you can blog on there. And this way it'll be easier to keep track of the booths, and potentially we'll be able to have participants where right now I'm blogging their posts, but we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I saw the one with that the little munchkin in the big in the boots, little kid. That was
Henry,
so
that was so cute.
That made me like more excited for him. Like, if people are gonna send these shots,
it's so great. It's so interesting to see the variety of what people are sending in too. It's really cool
what they think of their, and it's I like that too. I like being able to see that, what people, how they see their life, because it's completely different from how you'd see their life.
Totally.
The full exhibition is slated to go on display Friday, November 18th at KO Gallery, which is located at 177 East Broadway in downtown Salt Lake City. To see the latest additions to the project and meet the artist, visit shayleycooper.com. Allison Martin is a keyboardist and synth player based out of Salt Lake City, who recently formed an alliance with Alistair Marks to make the band Bell Rave. Their new EP, Taste Us, comes out November 15th. From that EP, here's Cave of Wonders.
Show me the way out. Lights down in darkness. Magic.
To find out more info on the duo and hear new tracks, check out Bell Rave on Facebook. That's one word, B-E-L-L-R-A-V-E. It's time once again to sit down with resident local expert and Yelp community manager, Jeffrey Stedman. And we're going to do the Yelp. I'm not quite sure what we call this segment. Yelping about, yelping around.
What the Yelp?
Yeah, what the Yelp? There you go.
Yelp yourself.
This week, though, we're going to do a little retrospective on one of my favorite foods. What are we talking about, Jeffrey?
What the pho.
What the
pho. Talking about the pho today, for sure. That's the only pun I'm going to throw in, I promise.
Thank you. I've got a few more, don't worry.
Let's do it. So we're talking about pho today, and we're going to see what people have been talking about, what they've been yelping about in the world of pho. If you're unfamiliar with pho, maybe you could
I can explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Vietnamese noodle soup with a base of a meat broth, and then there's some really thin rice noodles, I believe, some garlic, and the eater is allowed to garnish with basil and sprouts and some hot peppers, hot pepper oil, hoisin sauce.
That was, you said the word garnish, so already I'm impressed. That was something else. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a really, really good Vietnamese base of broths, really. I mean, this time of year, you know, when it turns cool, you're ready to go. So yeah, we're going to talk about a couple places. I think the first place, I don't think you can have a conversation about pho in Salt Lake without talking about Pho Tejo, which is on about 17th South Main Street. It's got 4 out of 5 stars on Yelp, 57 reviews, so pretty well vetted. A lot of people consider it the gold standard of pho.
It's my favorite restaurant. Can I say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to sound too biased, but it's the best in town.
Okay.
What are Yelpers saying about it?
Sky T, and he has the inside track because his mama, I guess, makes a mean pho. And he says, what the pho? That's his pun, not mine. did I just eat my mama's pho? This place makes the best pho that I've had in Utah, other than my mom's kitchen. You can tell that their broth is not just a simple beef broth from a can, but has been made from scratch, simmering with the bones, dried herbs, and spices to gain that deep, good flavor. So Sky, I trust Sky. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about, and he does, and it is a pretty mean pho.
It's true. It's all in the broth, mostly, and she's one of the only places in town, and I've asked, that actually makes a chicken broth for her chicken pho. There's only one chicken soup on the menu. It's a number 15, small. That's me. That's my preference. But it's a really good chicken soup. Like you were saying, it's getting colder. People need to get that traditional chicken noodle soup, but they want to spin on it. Go get the number 15, the Foga at Pho Tejo. Also, a little side note, inside track here. They have a salty lemonade that the owner of the restaurant makes with some lemons she lets ferment or get really gross, basically, in a solution, and then she puts it in some sweetened water, and it tastes delicious. So go for the salty lemonade and number 15. That's my recommendation.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I didn't bring that part, but yes, Sky actually talked about that.
Did he mention the salty lemonade?
He did mention the salty lemonade.
He is legit. This Sky guy. Good job, Sky.
He's for real. Okay, one more. That's it.
That's a moratorium on him.
All right, appreciate that.
And what are some other good pho's?
Pho Green Papaya is about 2000 West, 3500 South, 4 out of 5 stars again, 44 reviews, so pretty well vetted. Shane B says, it's all about the pho, which I've never had, so this was his first time. He says, I ordered a large because I was pretty hungry. I ordered mine with steak and flank. It came out in a bathtub-sized bowl. It was huge, and that's true, man. These guys, it's bang for your buck. It's like somewhere around $8, and it's really, you eat as much as you can, and then you slip in something comfortable and get into the bowl for a bath.
Also run by the same people that operate Sapa.
Yes.
And the
Bucket of Crawfish.
Crawdad, right across the street.
Bucket of Crawfish.
They've got the pho and Asian and crawfish market on the lockdown.
It's tough to break into. So.
Have you been to the
Bucket of Crawfish? I have.
Oh man, I've never had crawdads before. Crawdids, is that what they call them? I don't know. Anyways, they were pretty good. That's beside the point. Did you enjoy it though?
I really did. I got the shrimp. It's a little more bang for the buck, and they don't give you any utensils. You just dive in with your hands. It's
pretty messy.
Next, pho, long pause, Cali. That's 4 out of 5. Say it real fast. You get what I'm talking about. 4 out of 5.
It took me a second there. Thank you for pausing.
You get there. You know, it's the long drive to the party, but once you're there, it's a good time.
You get to keep your G's this week. Not going to take one.
After 19 reviews. It's like 35th South, 16th. A lot of great pho. 16th West. A lot of great pho in West Valley. Yeah, so Spencer S., I think he has like 65 check-ins here. You can check in on the Yelp mobile app.
And this is the Yelper.
Yeah,
Spencer.
This is the Yelper. Spencer S., he pretty much runs the place at this point because he's there a couple times a week. In fact, he said, there have been times where I have eaten a number 5 at Pho Cali 3 times in 1 week. I am completely addicted. I consider myself a soup connoisseur, and the taste of the broth is so far superior to any other pho, or any soup for that matter, that I've ever tasted.
Those are some fighting words.
Yeah.
About fun. That's a straight head-to-head challenge against the Thai. Oh.
I guess. Well, with like 60-something, you know, check-ins, I mean, he's definitely had, I think, probably everything on the menu.
It should be said that there is a variety of pho out there on the west side. It definitely overtakes the east side in terms of availability.
Oh,
there's a lot of restaurants out there.
Yeah, but up until recently, it was kind of tough on the south side, and there's a brand new place that opened. I actually had lunch there today.
Huh.
I'm very thorough.
You're doing some research.
I can't come on and talk about it if it's not legit.
The Stedman's nothing if not thorough.
That's it, really. Pho 33, which is 7640 South State, right in Midvale. It's only got 4 reviews, but it's got a 5 out of 5 star average.
Wait, 5 reviews with you, right?
I ate there this afternoon. I haven't reviewed it yet.
Okay. So well, maybe we can get your pre-published review here after you let us know what Lisa said about the pho.
Yeah, Lisa, there was a place there before that had some pho, but it had some problems. So they've gone in, they've totally remodeled the inside. I'll be honest, on the outside, like, you don't want to stop there. It's not IKEA approved, right? So
this is your person. This is not what Lisa said.
No, this is not what Lisa said. This is me. But I love it. So you go in, actually, they've done a really nice job inside. Great service, really nice people, and really, really good pho. Lisa G says, hot, steamy, spicy, herbaceous, and a hint of sweetness from the star anise. And I agree completely. I went in. I actually had this. You can order the pho 33, which is their namesake dish. It's not on the menu, so you go in and you ask for it, and it's that pho that comes with oxtail and tripe and tendon and flank and beef ball. All
that's
that really
the
good
whole
stuff.
Thing.
Yeah, I mean, if that sounds like an episode of Fear Factor to you, there's still like simple pho broth, maybe some, you know, steak.
Yeah, the tripe and the tendon sometimes can be challenging to Western palates, but if you give it a shot, well, some people like it, I don't like it.
Yeah, I really dug it, and it was giant. It was massive. I ate, and I'm not a huge fella, but I can put food away, and it owned me. And I took home probably half of it, but it was really good. Again, nice people, and you know, you really want to see them succeed because they're trying to do things right down there.
Great. Well, thanks for the rundown on pho. We're really excited about you stopping by again and letting us know what the Yelp community is up to. Where else can we get more information about you guys and what goes on? It's just Yelp.com, right?
Just check out Yelp.com. If you want to search pho, just type, you know, P-H-O into the search engine there in Yelp. If you have places, if we miss something, if we didn't talk about your favorite, you know, for sure, get on and let your voice be heard and talk about, you know, what's good and what's not and who's got good pho and who doesn't. You're laughing at me.
Well, I'm just laughing because I wanted to say that I wanted to go get pho'd up sometime with you.
I have a list of puns here that I was trying to avoid / think about.
What's your response then? I want to go get pho'd up with you, Jeffrey.
Well, that sounds phenomenal.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that, but pun lovers are going to love this episode.
That's shameful display.
Well, thanks again for stopping by, Jeffrey, and if you want to find out more about pho or other food in town, go to Yelp.com and check it out.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Touche Amore is a LA hardcore band who recently released their second full-length album, Parting the Sea Between Brightness and Me, in June of 2011. Here's Slug contributing editor Ricky Vigil speaking with vocalist Jeremy Bohm back in May. I'm not a provider, but a center
divider. I got layers to explain the different ways I behave. So I've heard the new album a few times, and your lyrical approach, it seems distinct, like it's almost a confessional style in all your stuff. With that, I was just kind of wondering how, or if you even try to separate your own life from your music, or just kind of what your lyrical approach is and how it relates to your own life.
I don't really separate it. Like, I mean, it's always been pretty, as you said, like confessional. Like, it's, you know, I use Touche Amore as the best outlet possible for everything. Mm. So I figure being just as honest as possible has always been the best approach for whatever I'm writing. And I usually just write whatever's on my mind at that moment, and that's kind of how everything's kind of come to be. But with this new record in general, like, it's way more, I'm letting out way more than I have on anything else. So hopefully I still have friends at the end of it.
Another thing that I thought was kind of interesting is, by all accounts, and when I, like, just visited you at the merch table, you seem like a pretty nice dude. Just the music is so desperate and just kind of angry, and it makes people go off. And I was just wondering how you kind of channel that. Do you stay angry at the world, yet try to be a nice dude in real life?
Well, I mean, you know, people bottle up a lot of things all the time, you know, and you can be happy all day, but you have this, you know, you might have something just kind of brewing inside of you, and that could eventually come out in a very negative way towards family or loved ones or just anyone, your friends in general. So, you know, using that for, like, you know, when you perform or whatever is a much safer outlet than, you know, taking it out on someone who doesn't deserve it, kind of a thing, or even taking that on yourself. So, for, you know, for me, particularly getting to perform is just it will always be the better outlet for everything, you know.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you can kind of turn your head off for a minute and do what you need to do to make yourself feel better, and then, you know, you can come back to reality and appreciate people who are supporting what you're doing.
I wanted to talk about the packaging. I know Death Wish has been posting teasers of that, the deluxe version of the new album, and that looks really cool. And also the Record Store Day, To the Beat of a Dead Horse.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much you guys had to do with that, but I was just wondering what you guys kind of are trying to convey with that. I mean, I know I'm a vinyl nerd, so I love stuff like that, but I'm always interested why bands offer things like that to their fans.
Well, we're all, one way or another, like, huge vinyl kids, me specifically, and I have the worst addiction in the world. And what makes me appreciate a record is if you could tell the band put thought and care into it, as opposed to just, like, giving the record to a art director who they don't know, and just they kind of throw something together. You know, there's not a lot of heart put into it. Thankfully, our guitar player, Nick, that's what he does for a living. He's also one of the most creative kids that I've ever known in my entire life. So having him in-house, being able to think of all these really cool ideas, has been such a good help for our band. And like the Record Store Day version was done by an artist that Nick really likes and sought out and got in contact with. Like, he's done a bunch of stuff for, like, Sub Pop and all these different really, really interesting projects that he's been a part of. So Nick was all over getting in touch with that guy and knew that he would, you know, come up with a really cool version of, like, an embossed cover. Yeah, I mean, when it came for all the art for Parting the Sea Between Bright and Sunny, is, like, way more in-depth than what you just immediately look at. Like, a lot of the things within the cover and within the pages, like, have a lot of really deep meaning that we'd like to think that, like, the record artwork is just as big of a message as the record is musically. It's all come together really well, and we're all super excited for that thing to finally be out.
I've seen videos of you playing a few songs live, and I was just wondering what your favorite songs from the new album are to play live and how the reaction has been so far.
Oh, man, that's hard. the first song we had put up on from the record, that Till Day song, like, that song has been a lot of fun to play because I feel like it's a really good introduction to what the record is going to end up, you know, like, what kids can expect. But playing Till Day and the last song in the record, which is called Amends, has been a lot of fun. But once the record is, like, you know, out there and everyone has it, like, I'm really looking forward to playing a lot of the songs we haven't played yet live, you know, if kids get familiar with it. Because
Yeah. There's
a lot of fun parts that kids can, you know, like, where I guess it's kind of, like, come along with, like, in the sense, you know, like, fun sing-along parts or like, clap-along parts kind of a deal, you know?
Yeah. Have you seen that yet with Till Day? I know that I myself have listened to that on that SoundCloud probably 30 or 40 times, so I'm sure some kids are feeling that one already.
We have played one show since that song has gone up, and kids sing along, and it was like, it had come up, like, I think it was put up online 2 days before, so having kids sing along that fast was, like, so overwhelming and really awesome. So it was, so one show so far we've played since it's been up, and it was pretty cool seeing kids already know it.
So the new album, there's a lot of pieces where it's a bit more atmospheric, like, things slow down and things get kind of pretty for a minute. And I was just kind of wondering what influenced that and how you approach this album versus the last album or the 7 inches you guys have put out.
Well, first off, like with this record, it's kind of like 2.5 new people playing on the record, whereas our original bass player is now playing guitar. And then we have a new bass player and we have a new drummer sent to the beat of a dead horse. So like, obviously that's a lot more, you know, change of dynamic with going into writing. You know, I feel like the lineup now is much more on the same page of what we're going for. And us being on tour for so long, like you just like grow really hard together, in the sense you just learn what one another is bringing to the table, kind of a thing. So we got really strong as a unit, and when we went in to start writing the new record, it just came so naturally. Everybody was just on the same page. Definitely being on tour with certain bands brought in a lot of influence. Like, there's definite parts on the record you can tell that we were happily touring with Envy.
Mm-hmm.
But then also there's a lot of things that, you know, like, we drew from, like, being out with Converge and things like that. So it is, like, a much more melodic record. There's also some of the darkest stuff we've written. So all those things kind of, you know, conjure together to create what we ended up writing.
Touche Amore is going to be playing Ogden's The Basement November 19th with Pianos Become the Teeth and Sea Haven. For more info, visit their website at toucheamore.com. Feel free to read the complete article on Touche Amore from the Napalm Flesh Metal blog in June 2011 at slugmag.com. Hey, thanks, Esther, for joining us one more time for our weekly calendar rundown.
You're welcome.
I'll just pretend like you just popped in. Oh, hey, Esther.
And the way you say one more time makes it sound like this is the last.
I don't mean it like
that.
You
should say goodbye.
You women always reading stuff in your shit. I didn't mean it like that. I hope we can do this forever.
All right. Well, I heard that Josh and Angela did a pretty good job last week, so.
Yeah, that is true. I'm not going to lie to you. Do you want me to lie to you? Yeah, I've been seeing other weekly calendar rundown people. I wish people could have seen that expression that just happened there. Imagine the most awesome, overly dramatic thing that just happened. Grabbing the head and everything. Well, let's get right to it without further ado. November 16th, there's another Whole Foods art show. Who is going to be there?
Chris Rudert.
Have you been to one of these yet?
No, I keep meaning to go because I heard they have free food and awesome art.
Yeah, there you go. Well, okay, it's going to be held at a grocery store. There's going to be food. I think that's partly the reason they hold it, so it's
yeah.
Okay. And November 18th at Urban Lounge, there's another exciting edition of Localized.
There is. Pretty Worms, Dark Seas, and the Rose Phantom.
Sounds so ominous, right?
I know.
Are you familiar with any of these groups?
Yeah, Pretty Worms. I think that Trisha McBride is the front woman. And
she's the vocalist, that mm-hmm. is true.
Yeah, and they're actually really awesome. It's kind of like noisy rock, just like really experimental stuff.
And Dark Seas is kind of a psych revival band. They played Craft Lake City, the stage that I worked this year, and they're really good as well. And the Rose Phantom is very
mystery.
Mysterious.
Yeah.
We have to wait and see. Well worth the $5 admission. It starts at 10 p.m. And next on the docket, something very Provo and Happy Valley.
Yes.
A Cowboys and Indies showcase at Velour.
Yeah, and this is actually a 2-day event. It'll start on Friday the 18th and go until the 19th. I don't think that it goes like, you know, all, I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's no rest in between all the bands. That yeah. There's a sleepover. I get what you mean.
Sleepover at Velour, but everyone will have to sleep in their own sleeping bags because it is Provo.
And there will be Book of Mormons in between each sleeping bag.
Yes.
So you can't cohabitate your bags. Heaven forbid.
No, but really the bands playing are actually some pretty cool local bands. Kind of folky, kind of softer music. And then there's some kind of fun indie stuff too. Sev versus Evan is actually a band that I used to like a lot. I haven't seen them play in a few years, but it's like a duo that's a lot of just like really fun, quirky music.
And the Devil Whale is playing that Friday show with them, as well as mm-hmm. Battle School and Ferocious Oaks. And on Saturday the 19th, Eyes, Lips, Eyes, Parlor Hawk, Sunflow, and Mighty Sequoia.
Should be fun if you want to go down to Provo.
Yeah, and camp out in Velour. And Saturday, November 19th, at the Hive Gallery, which is inside of Trolley Square, there's going to be a fashion soiree.
Ooh.
Do you like the pronunciation there?
Yeah, that's sexy.
I took French in third grade.
Third grade?
Yeah.
Oh, I know how to say something in French.
Go for it.
Je ne parle pas français.
I don't know how to respond to that. It was third grade. Thank you. Merci. I'm going to pretend that's a compliment.
All right.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. In English this time, I said that. It's a runway fashion show in the trolley atrium. There's going to be a few local designers on hand.
Yeah, there's a really awesome fashion scene here in Salt Lake. I've been seeing a lot of runway shows lately.
It's burgeoning. Art meets fashion just happened in October. Mm-hmm. And the pics from that were amazing.
Yeah.
And maybe this fashion soiree maybe is going to hold a candle. We'll see. Well, are you going to check it out? Are you into the fashion?
Look at me.
For the audience, she's wearing a full ball gown. And pearls. Are those your mother's pearls?
They are. Thank
adorable.
You.
Adorable. Chris My Proctor pearls. Is a lucky man. You look divine. Are you? No, I'll stop. Okay. She's not wearing a ball gown, guys.
Shh. Don't tell people that.
Radio's the theater of the mind. For more information on our daily calendar, go to slugmag.com. It's on the front page there. It's also on our iPhone app and in the back few pages of our hard copy publications, which you can find around downtown any place cool. Thanks again for joining us, Esther.
You're so very welcome.
Au revoir.
Habidouze.
We're doing French shit, Esther. You ruined it again. The Rose Phantom is Ted Newsom, formerly of groups Melodramas and Sleep Slid In. His new effort combines industrial, electro, goth, ambient, and other genres. He's currently recording new material, but he'll be playing some older favorites during November's Localized. Here's his The Open Diary.
Into the realm and don't be tired.
The Rose Phantom will be opening localized this Friday at Urban Lounge. Dark Seas and Pretty Worms join him on the bill. As usual, it's only $5 and starts at 10 p.m. For more, visit therosephantom.com. It's time to find out some information about a graphic arts event that's going on in downtown Salt Lake City this November 14th through the 18th. It's called Salt Lake Design Week, and we're sitting here with T. Doan of, what's the name of the organization again?
AIGA.
Right, you guys used to go by something else, but this is the new, fresher version.
Yeah, we just don't say the acronym anymore.
I'm just going to pretend it doesn't exist. AIGA. Let the imagination take you, people, with what it is.
Well, it's the Professional Association for Design.
And you guys are doing this event to encourage people to get into graphic arts and find out more about computer graphics, no?
No, more or less actually collaborating with a bunch of other organizations that span across different disciplines of design. And so the whole point is to raise awareness, just public awareness in our city about design, whether it's fashion, architecture, graphic, you know, you name it. It's kind of just more of a public awareness thing and to kind of strengthen our creative community in that way.
Far more exciting than I build it.
Sorry.
My apologies. No, thank God for you.
Well, you're welcome.
And in other ways, you're useful around here. In an effort at full disclosure, you're also a designer for Slug, right? You do some design
work.
Yes,
I do.
You actually designed our Soundwaves from the Underground logo.
I just might have.
No, that is true. That's a true thing. You did. Okay. Yeah, you did do that.
Yes, I did.
And it looks great, by the way.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Let's find out more about Salt Lake Design Week. Why are you excited about it?
I'm just thrilled about it because it's our first year. Salt Lake has had, or just has, a thriving and very enriched design community that I really do think that the kind of general public isn't really very aware of. So I'm just stoked to, you know, give them a huge amount of events, a lot of which are free, throughout the whole week, and just kind of an opportunity to kind of get exposed to all those things.
Like the opening night contest, Pixels of Fury.
Correct.
Sponsored by Shutterstock.
It is a design tournament, kind of a live action type of thing. I don't know if you guys have heard of, I think it's copy paste, but same idea where it's just kind of like 10 minute rounds of these quick throwing together something cool, and usually there's a theme. I guess a reality show for designers.
So Shutterstock provides the stock photography footage.
Correct.
And then there's a competition based around that.
Yes. And there will also be kind of just drinks, music, and just some, I think we are trying to include some fashion, some of the fashion remix stuff too, if, as long as that comes together, and just kind of a good time to kind of start off the week.
Are there any other events that you have to pay to get into that are exciting to you?
It would be the closing night reception, and it's at the Natural History Museum of Utah, and it is actually taking place on the opening weekend. And so we will actually have all the panelists involving kind of the design, the architectural, the branding, wayfinding, basically everybody involved in that project will be there in attendance to kind of answer questions and answers, to kind of give this all-encompassing cross-spectrum design and how it, you know, contributes to opening up a massive, massive project like that.
What do you guys hope to accomplish by presenting this event and exposing Salt Lake to these sort of different arts?
Ultimately, I mean, with the community kind of gaining that sense of awareness of, you know, kind of higher level design, I would hope that the craft itself, doesn't matter what discipline you are, kind of gets elevated in that way, and hopefully respect comes with that, and just sort of respect us within our own professions, and really just to kind of strengthen our creative community.
And hopefully a year two, right? Next year.
Absolutely. Yeah, bigger and better, hopefully.
And where are most of these events taking place, we should ask?
A lot of them are actually happening at the Leonardo, which also is newly opened. There's labs at the Leo. The Leo is actually the Design Week Lounge as well, where you can go there and, you know, get info on the events that day or throughout the week. Sit there, check your email, coffee, that sort of a thing. And then there's, of course, labs at the Leo that feature different subjects, whether it's architecture, illustration, even a letterpress workshop as well. Other than that, they're kind of happening sort of all over, I guess, because there's also studio crawls at night.
So they're encouraging art mixing with drinking. What could possibly go right?
Everyone has to have a good time.
It's true. I see that on the calendar there. It's Open Studio Crawl.
Yes.
East District, West District, Central District.
Yes.
So they're just going to crawl all over the city and be very artistic.
Kind of, yeah. And kind of, I mean, every night features different disciplines of design. It'll be architectural firms opening their doors, design firms, and some landscape design as well. Of course, we encourage, you know, any other studios who aren't signed up to actually email us if they want to open their doors. It's just kind of an open house for them.
So there's still a way for sponsors and other people to get involved in a little bit, yeah?
Absolutely. No, we are more than welcoming to, I mean, you're welcome to make your own events or, you know, add yourself to the studio crawls and we'll put you on the calendar.
And where can people find out more information about you, T-Done herself?
T-Done, my goodness.
You've got a Twitter, right?
I do have a Twitter. It's THY_DOAN.
And a personal website where people can check out your work?
Penandpalettes.com. It's a little behind, so I'm going to apologize because I used to blog a little bit more, but life has since taken over, like this.
That damn life. Always getting in the way.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I mean, actually, you can follow the Salt Lake Design Week on our Twitter hashtag. It's SLDW, or the Twitter account, SL Design Week. Hope to see you guys there.
All right. Thanks very much, T, and we'll check it out.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to Sound Waves from the Underground. For more info about the music, interviews, and guests from this episode, please visit slugmag.com. We really do like to hear what you guys have to say about the episode. In fact, it's the only way we know how to improve the show or give you what you need specifically. If you have any questions or concerns or comments, yes, that's right. I'm sure you're laying abed at night wondering. Wondering what you can do to better the show. If you have a burning in your bosom you'd like to express with us, send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com, or you can even call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line. That's right, you can call us up at 858-233-9324. That's not a joke, that's real. We actually have something you can call, and that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you feel like you express yourself better via spoken word versus a typed email, that's the way to do it. In fact, if you call us up, you may just hear yourself on our show. We do segments occasionally where we air people's complaints and commentary. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. Our associate producers are Jeanette D. Moses, Ricky Vigil, Esther Moronio, and Jonathan Paxton. And our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme and music was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Our main logo and art design by T-Done. Technical design by Kate O'Connor, with audio mastering from Andrew Glassett. Special thanks to Adam Sherlock and Eric Tomorrow for their help and support. Please join us next week as we interview snowboarder Travis Rice, get all counterculture and shit with Buy Nothing Day, and find out about winterizing your bikes with the SLC Bike Collective.